Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. And you're going to be here in a moment from Helga, a perspective of the concentration camps during the Holocaust, because of that is what God's been showing several believers, is they're beginning to see the same imagery and having dreams and visions about the same kind of trains and the same kind of, you know, what happens is when in the Holocaust, the enemy took over the leadership and they just begin to portray God's people as the problem. But in history, it's how it's always been, because God's people cannot mingle with or play with or have a partnership or have other gods. I mean, it's not going to work out good.
Right.
And so by doing that, the very one that you partner with is going to reject you and turn on you. I mean, even Nero, you know, started the fires, and he used that moment to be able to blame the Christians, for the fire that he started. And then they ended up using the Christians as lighting for his gardeners. He would put them on, you know, stakes or whatever, and he would set Christians on fire and walk through his garden. Then they boiled, and I'm this terrible person. Understand, Satan hates you.
Mm-hmm.
He hates you. Openly, you can listen to Islam and read the Quran and see that they hate Jews. They hate Christians. They hate, quote, the infidel, unquote, and that they want to destroy them. They're not going to be satisfied until a rock says, hey, there's a Jew under me, come and take this. They hate God's people. And that's the Antichrist spirit. They don't believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And I'm talking about that's just one, you know, aspect of what's going on. But it just kind of helps you get a perspective of what Satan thinks about you.
Mm.
And he is definitely not your friend. You know, he is an enemy of God's people. And so when we get back, you're going to be able to hear a child's perspective of what it was like to be in the Holocaust in the concentration camps. God began to talk to us, I guess it was last year maybe, with the gathering, with the God's beginning to seek God's perspective of Israel.
Mm. Yeah,
it was a year before.
A year ago.
And no, 2 years ago. Because I remember who was holding the pictures of Israel. God showed me America crashing.
Yeah, it was too.
The Constitution just being shattered. And he showed me even Israel, you know, being, you know, damaged and but not destroyed. And understand, you know, I don't say, hey, I'm a prophet.
Right.
But I am amazed at things that God shares with me as I share them. At the time I'm sharing them, people just, you know, don't even, he's like, what? And they go back, isn't this exactly what you was
yeah,
like?
Right.
And now we're seeing people, you remember how we had the leaders come together from around the nation, and I took the Constitution, the pocket Constitution, and wrapped it in an abiding band and handed it out. And that year was a year that America began to do battle for the Constitution, and we're in that battle today.
Right.
And listen to this. It's so important because this is Helga, a child's perspective of what it was like being in a concentration camp. And just listen to this perspective of a child. Imagine being there locked down in this horrific place.
Mom and Dad were sitting by the radio. Their heads hung low. This morning at 6:30, the German army crossed the border. I didn't really understand the meaning of those words, but I felt there was something terrible in them.
I was not from a very rich family, but I had good parents. We were a good family, and I had a very lucky childhood. But after occupation, everything has been changed, and our life became still more and more difficult.
Since March 15th, there has not been a single calm day. Everything is our fault, even though we didn't do anything. We can't help being Jews.
First, my father was expelled from his job. All the Jews were expelled and lost their jobs. And then also children were expelled from schools.
this time, the Germans came up with a great idea that even the Middle Ages would have been proud of. Stars. Bright yellow with the word Juda. At school, we boast about whose star is sewn on best, even though it's not pleasant to have to wear it. We make light of it. We got used to other things. We'll get used to this. Another new thing is coming to disrupt Jewish families. Supposedly, there will be transports. Everyone is getting ready for travel. The arrests never stop. Danger lurks at every step. When you leave your house, you never know if you will return. Tomorrow, we say goodbye to our home, our relatives, and everything that was dear and close to us. We are supposedly off to a new land to avoid persecution. We will be taken care of. Things will go well for us. I'll never find my way around here. But so what? We won't be here for long. There are 21 of us in quite a small room. If you haven't seen it with your own eyes, you would never believe it.
Men were staying in different place, but it was some possibility sometimes that we can somehow smuggle some messages to each other. I was fond of drawing, and it was December, and it was a time where children in a normal life built a snowman, but it was also a memory of the past life. It was such a normal childish drawing. I found this drawing very important because it was my first drawing in Terezín. And when I smuggled it to my father, he answered me, "Draw what you see." After the response by my father, I started to describe the everyday life in Terezín. During the time, I created about 100 of these drawings. Because I spent in Terezín almost 3 years, and they are very important today because it was forbidden to make pictures, to make film. And maybe that's why my drawings are today so important, because there doesn't exist any other picture material.
What kind of Mother's Day is it when I don't even have a flower for my mom? I know. I'll make one out of paper. It's not much, but after all, Mom knows there's not a lot of choice. Anyway, next year I'll make it up to her. By that time, we'll surely be home.
Terezín was used for propaganda. They wanted to show the world that Jews are staying well. Once it was invited, International Red Cross Commission.
A huge cleanup of the town is in progress. It's funny, but it looks like they're trying to change Terezín into a spa town. Freshly sown grass is coming up in the town square. The middle is decorated with a huge bed of roses. There's a pool, a merry-go-round, and seesaws. Everything was arranged like a stage set.
At the time, we very much hoped when International Red Cross would come and they would see the situation, it would be help for us and something would be changed to better. But inspection came and they watched and looked only on the places which were shown them. And the inspection itself lasted only a half day. And in the evening, they described a certificate. They found everything okay. So it was a great propaganda, and they believed it. They created a film. And it is the only film which existed, but it is a live propaganda film created by Germans. From this film, they asked the prisoners come to sit in front of a camera, and they had to say, "I am well in Terezín, I don't miss anything." transport were sent not only to Terezín, but also from Terezín somewhere. Nobody knew where. It was called only the East Transport. We had no idea about gas chambers. This first four transports in 44 were men only, and with the second one, my father was sent away.
Here we sit today, for the last time. We can't hold back the tears. We've stored up too many of them this past week. I can still see him standing on the steps, waving, smiling. Daddy, why won't you let us volunteer to go with you?
They promised this man their families would stay in Terezín. It was lie, as everything was lie. And so 2 days after he left, I was included with my mother. And we hoped to meet my father. We had no idea that something like that existed. We didn't know very well. It was a step in hell. If hell exists, it perhaps looks like Auschwitz. There was not enough food, and from the food we received, it was not possible to leave. The situation was terrible. It was hopeless, but we never wanted to leave hope. When somebody left hope, he was lost.
Mom is getting weaker by the day. The end of the war might not be far off. And even if it's only a week away, our end will come first. God have mercy. Give Mom enough strength so she can see us liberated.
For us, it was a little too late. We were glad everything was over, of course, but the first thoughts were, so we survived, but what about my father? Did he also survive? We left the camps, but we carried the camps still inside. The people who brought us to Prague, they told us, you are free and go home. But it was no hope. We were not expected. Nobody expected our coming back. Most or perhaps all of them who returned quite alone. They had nobody. I had my mother. I never gave a thought about we could be separated. So when I married, she stayed with me and lived with my family till her death. And she died in her age 84, 20 years ago. We never learned really where he perished, but probably just after coming to Auschwitz, he was directly sent to gas chamber. I always suppose and think about him, what he would say, what he would tell me, what I have to do. My father was very fond of music, and I married a musician. My son is a professional musician, so is my granddaughter, and so always I think about it, how it will be a pleasure for him. So he is sitting with me there. Read it very carefully and keep it in memory what happened and do something that it wouldn't happen anymore. That's what we learn, to be tolerant to each other, to understand to each other, not to be selfish, to be healthy, to have family, to have hope and freedom.
These were once people. Healthy, strong, with their own will and thoughts. Love for life, for good things, for beauty. What's left are phantoms, bodies, skeletons without souls. No one will weep for them. No one will lament their passing. Until someday, there will be a mention of them in our textbooks.
You're listening to CBN News's segment on Helga's viewpoint, a child's viewpoint of the Holocaust. The reason why I think it's so relevant, and I really believe the reason why God's even touching CBN to be able to, the 700 call, to be able to do that. And you can get to that, of course, on CBN, or you can go to the VFN Torch at VFN.com and see the actual journal and the pictures that she wrote. Also, what was taking place in there. And just to see her face as she describes what's going on. Understand that's what Satan feels about God's people. Quit trying to make friends with darkness. You know, shake yourself. You know, whoever you obey, that's who you're a slave to. That's what Paul says in Romans chapter 8. And whoever you're listening and following is your father, is what God, Jesus says. And so, you know, who your daddy is, right? Who's your father? You know, who is your father? And listen to this and learn from. She says, read her diary. And she now it's for the first time written in English. You could have access to it at the VFN Torch. And, understand it so it doesn't get repeated again. And you just, I can't help but just see the groundwork being set. Understand that Hitler, everybody thought he was the greatest thing since sliced bread because he was going to provide everything for the people and take care of it. But the opposite happened. But in the midst of all that, you know, millions were killed, and millions of Jews were killed. 6 million Jews, I believe, were killed, and Christians were killed, and that was the end result. If we could just eliminate those who said yes to God and are God's people, and that's his goal. You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the daily VFN radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com. or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.